Hi, and welcome to the About Her show. I am Sangeeta Relan, an educationist, a writer, and a lifelong learner. I also run an e-magazine for women. This podcast is about trailblazing women and their journeys. Women who have broken many a barrier, many a stereotype to realize their potential. If they can do it, so can you. In this week's episode, we have the celebrated author Rashima Swaroop Varma sharing her views and opinions on a number of topics. Rashima shares her profound belief in the importance of setting goals and cultivating a sense of purpose. She reflects on how her childhood dream of becoming an author provided her with direction and fueled her journey to success. But Rashima's story goes beyond personal achievement. She is a staunch supporter for women's rights and empowerment. With unwavering conviction, she emphasizes the need for women to stand up for themselves, own their choices, and defy societal expectations without apology. Join us as we explore Rashima's insights and experiences, shedding light on the challenges women face in a world that often questions and judges their every decision. Hi, Rashima, and welcome to the About Her show. This show is about women achievers, who we call women trailblazers, women who have broken barriers, broken the glass ceiling, followed their dreams and ambitions to become successful in their respective fields. The idea is, of course, first to give them a platform to talk about their journey, their work, ups and downs, challenges, and all of that. And along with them, it is also to inspire and motivate the listeners, women who have dreams, who have ambitions, but for some reason or the other are not able to follow them. So we want them to, you know, break out of whatever is holding them back and realize their dreams. And eventually, we want to build a community of women who are there to support, guide, mentor, help each other, be there for each other. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sangeeta. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be on your show. I've watched several episodes of it, and I find it tremendously inspiring. So thank you so much for inviting me.
You're more than welcome. All right. So just to set the ball rolling, a little bit about your early childhood, any of the memories which you think have kind of left an imprint on you and which guided you and helped you to become the kind of person that you are today.
Right. I think childhood is important in, you know, the journey of every individual. I think it really plays a tremendously pivotal role. And, you know, those are our formative years. Yes. And it was pretty much the same for me. In fact, my love for books started there. Okay. And I remember that because my parents are voracious readers, both of them. Mm-hmm. I come from a family of writers. My grandfather was, in fact, a famed writer. He used to write about, his topic was political science. So very different from what I do, but a writer nevertheless, and, a very respected academician as well. Mm-hmm. So I think my love for books and that thirst for reading and, for discovering new things started early on. And then the school that I went to was, I think, very futuristic in a time that people were mostly focused on academics, you know, mm-hmm. but the school that I went to, our teachers taught us to follow our dreams and to indulge our passions. So very early on, we had a lot of focus on co-curriculars, and, you know, our teachers could discover what we were good at. So if someone was good at sports, that would be discovered early on. Mm-hmm. So in my case, it was my writing. It all started with this creative writing competition. It was an inter-school competition. Mm-hmm. And I had absolutely no understanding of why I entered it. Mm-hmm. Definitely not mm-hmm. with an intention to win. Mm-hmm. But when I did, and then eventually my principal, I remember, you know, she gave me a push, which really helped me. It inspired me. And here we are today. So, yeah, I mean, from the point of view of books, writing, and, you know, everything to do with that, I think it started very early on in my formative years.
Yeah, I can see that. Always want to be a writer, an author?
Yes. I started writing when I was 7. And I would go to this bookstore in Delhi, you know, Midland bookstore in Aurobindo Market. Yeah. And it was a thing to do. I mean, that was the way, because we didn't have so many other forms of entertainment that children do. So for us, books was always something that we We loved, I mean, our books were our treasures. So I remember going to Midland, and I remember sitting there and imagining my own book on one of those shelves. So
Yeah.
that is how it started, and I always wanted to be a writer.
Great. So it's a dream come true for you, right?
It is.
Yeah, wonderful. So tell me, apart from being a writer, you also are part of the corporate world. Is that so? So tell
Yes, it is.
us, how are you doing both these things, and how did you, I mean, what happened first? Did you get into the corporate world, or did you start writing? I mean, how did it happen?
So, like I told you, I have been writing since I was 7. It's been, I think many decades. My corporate career per se started because, again, you need to earn a living. And, once I was done with my graduation, I went on to do my MBA. I went to the UK to study also. Then I came back and I did another course in management here in India also. And that's how it started. And the kind of work I was doing, it was very diverse in the sense that I am in business consulting. So that kind of gives you, exposure to a lot of industries. And it was very interesting. It is still very interesting. But, when I started, it was like this roller coaster ride. And, all that adrenaline every time you get a new project and you're working for all these multinational clients. And it had its own thrill, its own rush, which I think, the thing is that it kept me very busy. It took over my life. So for quite a few years, I had to give up on everything else, including my writing. So during that phase, when I was really building my career, I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And that time, I remember life was so frenetic with work that there was no time to write, even though the inspiration was still there. So there were moments when I really wanted to pen something down, but it was difficult. But they say when something is a part of who you are, it'll keep coming back to you.
Course,
And I
definitely.
remember the night that the Nirbhaya case happened in Delhi. I think as a woman, I felt the kind of rage that most of us did, that something so terrible could happen. And the only way I could release those feelings, and it was a sort of therapy for me, was to pen it down. And it manifested in the form of a poem. And that's how I went back to writing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Sometimes I think it's, a trigger is all that you need. I mean, it doesn't have to be something like Nirbhaya, as, unpleasant and gory as and tragic as that, but I think sometimes it's just that trigger that you need to get back to what is building up inside you, so to say.
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely.
So Rashima, tell me, you've been a part of the corporate world for a long time, and of course the writing bit, and of course you're a successful author now. Tell me, did you face any challenges when you started your journey as a professional woman? And do you think any of those challenges were because of your gender?
Well, I think I was lucky in that sense because when I started out, I was working with a wonderful team, and most of the clients I worked with were also very cooperative, very nice. So from that point of view, it didn't really hit me. I think it could also be that I was young and maybe not as sensitive to gender differences, I didn't face anything per se, but of course, there is always that feeling that life is tougher for us as women. After we have children, particularly, it becomes more difficult to juggle everything. So circumstances, yes, they always posed a challenge. The people I worked with were nice throughout. So I feel that somewhere, I didn't really have to face that whole idea of a glass ceiling or the fact that I couldn't get ahead because I am a woman. That became something which I would listen to in the form of stories by other women, but I didn't really face it myself. So yes, I think I was incredibly lucky in that sense.
Extremely fortunate, because otherwise corporate world is a place where there is, it may not be apparent, but it is there. Some
It
sort of
is.
discrimination, some sort of, this gender bias is there.
Yeah,
Okay,
yeah.
so Rashima, a successful author, can always share tips for others, tips for aspiring authors. So quickly, three tips on how to become a successful author. And I
Okay.
know you're very good at rapid fire.
Yes, I am. Usually, I'm on the other side, and I'm the one who puts people in hot seat. But nevertheless, I'll try to do this fast. Three tips. See, the first one is you need to get a fabulous literary agent like Suhail Mathur. on your side, because I really owe all my literary success to Suhail. I think he is a godsend for aspiring writers and for all writers, in fact. So that's tip number one. Get yourself a brilliant literary agent like Suhail. The second is to be critical of your work. So, I do feel that being able to critique your own work in a subjective, in a, you could say, in a non-biased way, look at your work from a distance and critique it. And don't be afraid to do that. So that is the second thing. Third is, I think, don't pigeonhole yourself. Be open to writing across genres, whatever, whichever way the wind blows. So sometimes I feel writers tend to do that. They pigeonhole themselves and just say, okay, I will only write this. But I think moving with the, with what the readers want to read, what the market trends are, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Great. This actually makes a lot of sense because keeping up with the times in which we live and what people want, because ultimately you are writing for others. You're writing for people to read. So if you don't write what they want, obviously, it's like any other product, I think. If you're not selling what people want, then who's going to buy your product? So yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we have your human beings, ups and downs, challenges, days when we are not so upbeat, bright and cheerful. So how do you keep yourself on track on those low days?
Sangeeta, despite, I think appearances are very deceiving. I look like a very cheerful and happy person all the time, but I can be incredibly moody. The truth is that there are days when I can wake up and feel as if the sun just hasn't risen, for no particular reason at all. So what I try to do is I have tried to take each day as it comes. And that is a lesson I learned a few years back. In fact, it was one of my clients who eventually became a friend, and we were talking about we lost a project which we were supposed to do, and they were supposed to give us the project. And because he was also a friend, he gave me a bit of counseling, and he told me, don't let things get you down to that extent. Take each day as it comes. Cross every bridge when you come to it. And I have really tried to implement that. It keeps my moods in check. And my days have become more productive as a result of that. So I think having short-term goals can be a very healthy thing. We all have those long-term plans, 5-year plans, 10-year plans. But being able to actually say, okay, today I'm going to write 2 pages, or I will write 3 pages. After I'm done with everything else, I will sit down and open my laptop and I'll do those 3 pages. So that has really given me fresh perspective on my goals. So I think that is something that works for me.
Yeah, I can see because when you have short-term goals, they also, because you're able to achieve them, they also give you a sense of satisfaction. And I think that encourages you to move to the next step. Because if you have one long-term goal and you don't seem to be making progress, or you don't seem to recognize that there has been any progress, it will demotivate you. But shorter goals, like, even I do this, that, okay, only this much today. So I have this list. So even if I've made one little thing, one tick on that list, it's fine. So yeah, I think that I think can really help. So would you say that this interaction with a client who became a friend, this could be one of the lessons in life that you learned, or
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think these are those little nuggets, sometimes we don't realize how important and significant they are in terms of the role they play. But absolutely, it is something I learned to do. And my husband, who is actually a health and wellness coach, he also told me fairly recently that short-term goals, I think, are very important for a person's emotional happiness. Emotional wellness and happiness. So definitely it's something that I have tried to implement to the way I think and, to the way I perceive my life.
Any other lessons that you may have learned, any learnings that you would like to share with us other than this one?
Yeah, my mom always says, learn to say so what. And I think it's so important because as human beings, and particularly women, I think tend to overthink everything. We're constantly ridden with guilt. And this is a fact. I mean, I feel it, whether it is, about work or whether it is about things like motherhood, or whether we're doing justice in the home, justice to our work as professionals. I think we're constantly overthinking everything. So there was this one day when my mom told me, she says, so what? Learn to say that. It's not the end of the world. And again, I tried to implement that and it works. These are very simple nuggets or solutions, I think, but they go a long way.
They
Yeah.
do, because sometimes we just, in the flow of things, we don't realize, how much we are pushing ourselves or trying to do something which we maybe cannot. And it's okay if we can't do it. I think
Yeah, I
women
mean,
are afflicted
think
with this,
of the concept of superwoman. It's so
Yes,
flawed.
of
No, it's
course.
a terrible thing to
Yes.
put that kind of pressure
Yes.
on women or to have those expectations. I'm not a superwoman and I make mistakes every day,
Of
you
course.
know. So there is always something that I'm doing where I feel, okay, I couldn't do this well enough. And that's okay. It's okay to not be 100% all the time.
Nobody can be. And what is, I mean, what I find sad is that it's not only men, but even women sometimes, they try to be superwomen, trying to do everything and in the best possible way. I think somewhere we have to, take cognizance of reality and realize and accept that no, it is fine if you cannot do everything, and it is fine if you cannot do everything perfectly. You're human. Just believe
Absolutely,
that, accept
absolutely,
that. And when you do this, the world will also believe it.
absolutely.
Okay, so Rashima, any tips for young girls who are on the threshold of their personal and professional lives? Because I mean, in today's day and age, there is so much exposure, there's so much information which people have. And I think girls, women, they tend to sometimes get overwhelmed. I'm not saying that boys don't, but here, since we are talking about women and girls, so anything that you would like to tell them to keep in mind when they are kind of trying to step into the professional world and, of course, their personal lives as well.
Yeah. You know, I think the 90s when we were growing up were very progressive times. And I'm saying this as much from the point of view of somebody who was a 90s child who was growing up in that period, as I am, today in this 21st century, looking at contemporary India or, the world in a contemporary sense, and as an adult and as a fully grown woman, I feel that girls these days need to realize that they are contemporary modern women and their expectations from themselves should be based on that, you know. So what my advice to them would be, treat yourself as equal first. That is the only way the world will see you that way.
Yes.
The moment you
Yes.
put yourself down or the moment you start treating yourself, you know, you say that there is this gap, and I know there is a gap that we are constantly trying to bridge. But if we are able to remove that from our minds and treat ourselves as equal to the men who work with us or to the men who study with us, you know, if you're talking about students, young girls who are students and, you know, they go to college and you have men and women studying together, or you go to an office and you're a professional. And again, you have men and women working together. Treat yourselves as equal to them. Don't, I think it's very important. You know, you have these days, you even have fathers who go for paternity leave, you know, which means that there's an equal role that they play in child rearing also. In fact, my new book, which is coming out, is about parenting, and there's a lot of, that I've written a lot about the role of the father there. So I think there is a greater sense of equality, and I'm glad that it is improving, that gender differentiation is, you know, the gap is narrowing. But there are a lot of things which are pulling us back also, you know. So regression is something which we have to avoid at all costs. Progress is the solution to all this. And I think at the end of the day, women and girls have to realize that we are equal and we need to be treated as that. And the world will treat us as equal only if we treat ourselves that
I
way.
agree. I agree. Like they say, charity begins at home. So first of all, treat yourself the way you want the world to treat you. So if you kind of undermine yourself, or you don't think you are as, important or as equal to the other gender, then obviously they will also treat you like that.
Yeah,
So
I mean,
you have
stand up
to.
for yourselves, you know, just stand up for yourselves, speak your minds, don't constantly either hesitate or, you know, feel that need to apologize for your choices. Don't do that. Don't apologize.
And I think parents can play a significant role in this, because the girl child, right from the very beginning, if you tell her to keep quiet or to take all these things, she will get into that mold. But if from the very beginning she is taught that, yes, you can stand up for yourself and you can speak for yourself, that I think will go a long way in helping girls cope with all this.
Absolutely.
So, Rashima, somebody who has made a name in the sense that you wanted to be a writer, so you became a writer, and of course, you are a published author about to come out with your third book. So successful in your journey, whether as a corporate professional or as a writer. So tell me, we've made a lot of progress, and the world is more accepting of women who are, realizing their dreams and ambitions. But on a regular basis, how does the world take to women who are successful? And here I'm talking about the reaction from both men and women.
I think as a country, we have a long way to go as far as acceptance is concerned, and what we need is no judgment. That is something that I absolutely loathe. I loathe the idea of being judged, and I loathe the idea of women coming under that pressure because simply because they are being judged. Well, it does happen. It's not that it's a myth or that it doesn't happen. Of course, it does. There's always this question. I'm a mother. I have a 12 and a half year old. So a lot of people have come up to me and asked me, if you're constantly busy with your career or your writing also, where does your role as a mother go? What role does your husband play? What role do you play? Those kind of questions, I think, because this is something which is so personal and so private. And every woman's journey is different and is unique. So I think acceptance is definitely something where we, as a society, we have a long way to go. We're not, India as a country is not at this point, at this juncture, is not comfortable around very successful women. And the whole idea of a glass ceiling in the corporate world is, it's a true thing. I mean, it's not, again, it's not a myth. How many, there are very few extremely senior level country managers or senior level on the board of directors of multinational companies, it's basically all men, even today.
Even today.
It's very rare to see a woman there. Now, we may say that, we have a lot of women pilots, we have a lot of women who are now in unconventional professions also, which was not the case earlier. But I feel overall, as a society, we have a long way to go. And the corporate sector is a glaring example of that. We need a lot more progress there. As an author, I think there is growing equality. I don't think male authors have it better than female authors. I think the writing profession in that sense, the literary profession is better. So, but the corporate sector, I think, has a long way to go with that.
Definitely. I think any working woman is always judged, whether it's your home or it's your child or it's your, family, whatever role you have to play, they will always kind of, add that pinch of salt that, yes, you're a successful career woman, but what about this, 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 which they will never ask of a man who will never be judged for this. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So now I'm constantly being told that, oh, your husband supports you. How wonderful, how wonderful. And then I think, well, I have supported his career choices too,
Absolutely.
for the last 17 years that we've been married. So, but nobody comes up to me and compliments me on being a supportive wife. So I think
No.
that is something which is taken for granted, that women
Absolutely.
are supposed to support men. But when men do it, it just becomes this wonderful thing that needs to be praised and applauded all the time.
All the time, all the time. True, true, true. So another, phenomena that I have observed around me is what I call midlife rebooting, where people, once they reach their 40s, late 40s, or even early 40s for that matter, 50s, they start looking towards other professions, other things to do. So there is a doctor who wants to write, there's an engineer who wants to sing. So something which is diametrically opposite to what they've been doing all these years. So what do you have to say about this? I mean, is it only a recent thing that people have started discovering their passions and their hobbies, or was there some other reason because of which maybe our parents couldn't do it or wouldn't do it?
I think today's generation in that sense is very blessed because options are open for them. For us, it was a little different when we were graduating from school, when we were getting out of school and, trying to decide what we want to do in terms of a career. The options, and this is for both men and women, the options were very limited. It was either if you're in science, then you're becoming a doctor or you're doing your engineering. If you go into commerce, then you're going to do your, it's taken for granted that you will either do your CA or your MBA and you'll go on to join the workforce like that. But we didn't have, so writing for me was more of a hobby then. I never thought I would actually develop it into a profession. And I know a lot of my friends also who were very creatively inclined, they made some mistakes as far as their career decisions were concerned simply because those options weren't open. So if somebody wanted to go into music or into film production, film direction, it was fairly difficult
Yeah.
to make those decisions. So, which is why I think now what is happening is a lot of people, having spent 20, 30 years, doing what maybe they didn't want to do, now they want to indulge themselves in that sense. And I have a friend who spent around 15 years in the business world and then went on, ditched everything, and one day decided to become a Zumba instructor,
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, those things happen, and I think it's okay to do that. The important thing is to be aware of the consequences or the repercussions of your choices. That is something one needs to be aware
So you feel that this generation now, or
of.
not the generation, but people who are doing this, first of all, there is exposure, there's awareness, and there is acceptance also. Like if your friend
An
decided to
opportunity.
become Zumba instructor, it's okay. People are pretty accepting of it. And plus, I think also by the time you reach your 40s and 50s, financially also you can make those choices, because if you have to, like maybe early on, you have to work for a living. So you have to put your passions and hobbies and all of these things on hold. But when you reach, because of the opportunity, yes, you're right. Okay. So you're a mother, you are a writer, you are a corporate professional, wife, and for the host of other roles which every woman has to play. So how do you juggle these different balls, or do you struggle to juggle?
Sangeeta, I don't even know how I do it. I mean, every day is different, in my calendar. I think, like I told you, I try to make a list in the morning and say, okay, these are the things I have to accomplish. And by the end of the day, if there are things which are left unaccomplished, I say, so what? And I carry on to the next day. How do I juggle? I think nobody can have it all, and let's be very honest, the pressure is more on women, So at the end of the day, I feel if I need to write for an hour every day, then I need to do that. And something else needs to take a back seat then, whether it's my social life or a coffee with a friend or a time out for myself. Because now I've started looking at writing as something that is for me. It's not a job. It is what I need for my own soul and to keep myself happy. So if you love what you do, I think it doesn't matter, because even if you're giving up something else, it
It's okay.
doesn't feel like a sacrifice at the end of the day. So yeah, there's no juggling really. I mean, all those balls in the air which we are trying to catch constantly, I think so many of them fall apart. So it's okay.
So you feel it's okay if few of them fall on the way. I mean, maybe you catch the ones which are more important to you. You decide which ones are important. You catch those, and some of them, if they fall, by the side, it's okay.
It's perfectly okay.
No. So you said that you don't like having long-term goals. Yes, short-term goals make you more productive, which I think, of course, makes a lot of sense. But despite that, where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
I have no idea. Hopefully traveling a lot. I
Okay.
love traveling. And my son, my husband, me, my parents, we all love it. It's the happy thing for us. It's what gives us immense happiness. So hopefully in 10 years, I'll be able to take 4 holidays a year.
Okay.
Right now I'm at 2 holidays a year. So
Okay.
hopefully
All right.
in another 10 years, it's going to be 4 holidays a year. But from a writing point of view, well, I would love to do a book a year at least, if not more. And since I am enjoying it so much, I think it's not something that will ever feel like a job or a chore. So yeah, that is something that I would want to do for myself.
So all the best to you. And I always believe that what you manifest, it always comes true. So if you want to do it, it will happen. The holidays and the books.
Thank you so much.
And my last and final question, which I ask every woman, can a woman have it all?
Sangeeta, nobody can have it all. I think, like I told you, I don't look at myself as different just because I'm a woman, and it's the first thing that we need to do. I look at my husband's challenges the same way that I look at mine, and it gives me a sense of equality there. And the moment I start looking at myself as equal and I treat myself as equal, I have seen that the world does the same. They view us a bit differently when we have that attitude. But nobody can have it all, yeah. It's a myth, this. And like I said, I don't want to have it all because I'm not a superwoman and I don't want to be one. So there will be days when I will not do justice to my work. There will be days when I will make mistakes as a mother. There will be days when my house will be messy as hell. And that's okay. I can't have a pristine house, a perfectly well-balanced career and personal life at the same time. And I think I just want to thank all the people who've played a role, in making things easy for me, or making it possible for me to call myself successful in what I'm doing. I think on the home front, my parents, my husband, my son, they all understand. Like right now, my son is, I know he wants to really make a lot of noise because he's just come back from school, but he knows that mom's in a call and he's trying to maintain that silence in the house. So all that has made a difference. The people I work with, then of course, my literary agent, Suhail, who, I think he doubles up as my therapist also on so many occasions when I tell him, Suhail, I'm not able to do this. And then he'll tell me, you're a creative and talented person and you need to have faith in yourself. So there are so many people who've played that role. And I think success never comes on its own. You always have people in your life. You need that support system. And if you have, if you're lucky enough to have that, then you can have a lot of what you dream. But not everything comes laid out on the silver platter. You have to work very hard
Of
for it.
course, of course. So actually, when I say have it all, it means that, say 10 years down the line or 20 years down the line, if you look back on your life, and would you be able to feel that you were able to do most of the things that you wanted to do? So you wanted to be a writer, you wanted to be a corporate professional, you wanted to be a mother. So from that perspective, that is,
Absolutely.
your
I
life,
think
your
I.
choices.
I'm definitely in a position where I can say that I have managed to achieve a number of things that I wanted to, and life has been kind to me. So from that point of view, absolutely, I think it's been a great journey so far, a great journey.
That is what it is, not being made to do things that you don't want to do. So if you want to do something, if you've done it, for me, that is my all. I choose my all. So that is what it is.
Absolutely.
So Rashima, thank you so much. This was actually a delightful conversation, different perspectives, different ways of thinking. But then, as I always feel and always maintain, that all of us, all women, we are the same at the core. Our issues are
Absolutely.
same, our attitudes may be different because of our backgrounds and upbringing and all of the different things, but at the core, we are all the same. And this keeps getting reiterated the more women I speak with, the more women I interact with. So thank you
I
so
just have one message for the men, because I think it's
much.
really important to, if you're a married man, I think it's very important for you to understand the challenges that your wife is facing. I am very lucky that I have a very supportive and understanding husband. I know that that's not something that all women have. So this
Absolutely.
is just a message that I want to send to all the men out there who are watching this, that try and step into the shoes of the women in your life, and understand that there is a gap that has existed for centuries, which we are trying to bridge. And it would be great if they would be a part of this journey. And they would help to make it a bit easier for the women in their lives.
That's indeed wonderful, because it is like they say, it takes two to tango. So men and women together make this world. We cannot live without, we both need each other. So yes, give each other that space, give each other that freedom, the liberty to do what they want. Oh yeah, thank you. That was indeed a great message. Thank you once again.
You so much. Thank you so much, Sangeeta. It was such a pleasure.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the About Her Show. We've had some interesting conversations with accomplished women on our other episodes, so make sure to check them out. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. Follow About Her on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And visit our website www.abouther.in for some wonderful content. And if you know of a trailblazing woman who you think would be a great guest on our show, please write to us at web.abouther@gmail.com.